It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
I try to be consistent on this program, even if it means sometimes disagreeing with fellow conservatives. But let me first start where I do agree. I absolutely agree with their reaction to leftist speeches about Charlie Kirk. The response, however, to those speeches, that's another matter. But yes, some swinish, hateful comments have been made about Charlie Kirk's death. All over the internet and on some college campuses, people are celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk, saying he deserved it, saying he was a fascist. Many celebrating on college campuses are actual professors. At one outdoor memorial on a college campus, a student ran over the honoring signs and flowers, stepping on as many things as he could. A doctor in a New Jersey hospital cheered and publicly praised the death of Charlie Kirk. This was reported by a nurse who was disturbed by it. She was placed on suspension. She's since been reinstated, and the doctor has resigned. So yes, in some instances, the loudmouths have been fired or at least placed on suspension. At Office Depot, some people went in and asked them to copy some posters advertising a vigil for Charlie Kirk. They said, "We don't print propaganda." They said, "Let me speak to the manager." They got the manager. The manager said, "That's right. We don't print propaganda." They said, "This isn't propaganda. It's a vigil. We consider it propaganda." Well, that was reported. The powers that be at Office Depot nationally fired them. And when such people get fired, the left calls this cancel culture. Well, that's a very familiar word. You just gotta love the left. They invented cancel culture year after year. They try to cancel anybody who disagrees with them. They try to go back over classic books and get them out of the libraries because of the way some people were portrayed. They tried to cancel Rush Limbaugh. They tried to cancel Sean Hannity. They succeeded in getting Roseanne fired. They wanted to cancel anyone who wouldn't wear masks, anyone who wouldn't get the COVID vaccine, anyone who offered contrasting medical opinions on Facebook or YouTube, even doctors reputed in their fields. They invented cancel culture, and now they're whining that those who celebrate murder and assassination are being canceled. Perhaps the controversy most being talked about is Jimmy Kimmel. He went on the air in his hilarious late-night program, and he accused the killer of being a MAGA supporter. He said, "We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it." Well, many ABC affiliate channels across the country refused to air his program anymore after that. Finally, ABC itself saw no choice but to place his show on indefinite suspension. Kimmel has gone ballistic over this. Funny. Kimmel celebrated when Tucker Carlson got fired. Doesn't feel the same when it happens to you, does it, Jimmy? And how many who speak against the Office Depot team being fired cheered when the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop was sued for refusing to decorate a cake for a gay wedding? Those cases are not the same, by the way. Office Depot was refusing service. The Masterpiece Cake Shop owner was not refusing to sell the couple a cake. He was not even refusing to bake the couple a cake. He was refusing to decorate it because included in the decorations would have been a message about marriage, a message about gay marriage. It would have forced him to affirm something that violates his religious convictions. And frankly, it would have invaded his space as an artist. An artist should be allowed to do whatever artwork he wants. It should be an expression of his feelings, his thoughts. Office Depot was not asked to create a testimonial for Charlie Kirk. They were simply asked to print something. And so the left protesteth too much, and it is tempting to cheer. Are these people getting what they deserve? Yes, of course. Is this a violation of the First Amendment? That's another question altogether. As I said, I take pains to be consistent on matters like these. Let me begin by saying our First Amendment freedoms in this country are in jeopardy. Not usually with the examples you're hearing from the left, but they are in jeopardy in reality. I remind you that in last year's election, Vice President running mate Tim Walz said hate speech is not protected by the Constitution. Yes, it is, Tim. Sorry you're too stupid to know that. See? I just used my own First Amendment freedom to call him stupid, but I did it for good reason. It seems he is stupid. But here's my point. If all speech was going to be benign and friendly, our forefathers would not have seen the need to protect it. It's when people disagree. It's when they say offensive things that the speech especially needs protection. This is why I have always resisted hate crime laws. If someone commits violence or arson or murder, they are already guilty of violence or arson or murder. Whatever the reason was, they're guilty of violence, arson, murder. We already have penalties for such practices. What more do we need? Their motive is irrelevant. When we try to get into their heads, we're talking about thought police, and hate crime laws can lead to hate speech laws. In response, people love to ask the question, you hear this all the time, should we be allowed to shout fire in a crowded room? That all depends on whether there's really a fire. Now, in that vein, Attorney General Pam Bondi, who I admire greatly, and who up to now has not done anything I've disagreed with, finally made a disappointing comment. She said, there's free speech, and then there's hate speech, and there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society. We will absolutely target you, go after you, if you are targeting anyone with hate speech. While I certainly share her outrage at the kinds of speeches she's talking about and the kinds of people she wants to target, I'm concerned about going down this road. Hate is often in the eye of the beholder. These days, people on the left will call you hateful just for saying that a man shouldn't be on a woman's soccer team. So we need to be careful. The left and the right have different definitions of hate. That's why our forefathers gave us the First Amendment, so that we don't have to parse this stuff. So much as I have been an admirer of Pam Bondi, this comment I did not agree with at all. It concerned me quite a bit. I should say that almost immediately, she clarified. She said, we will target hate speech that crosses the line into threats of violence, which is not protected by the First Amendment. Okay, good. I'm glad she walked that back. I do agree with her clarification, and that much is true. Inciting violence, calling for violence, that is not protected speech. What about people being fired in the private sector or from media outlets? Is that a violation of the First Amendment? No. Although, just for the record, even in those situations, personally, with very few exceptions, I never call for people to get fired. If I don't like what I'm watching or listening to, I change the channel. But that's me. Is it all right for others to call for a firing? Okay, let's tackle that one. We need to understand the First Amendment protects your speech from the government. You are not allowed to be arrested for your viewpoint. They do that in England. They don't do that in the United States, even though, again, we need to be careful with terms like hate speech or we will be going down that same slippery slope and our Constitution won't be worth the paper it's printed on. But the private sector is different. Your boss is under no obligation to hire you or to keep you on after he hires you. Many businesses have a code of ethics that their employees agree to ahead of time. And part of that code is often whether certain words or expressions are going to be good for business. What if somebody at a restaurant, a waiter, or a busboy kept using profanity out around the tables, using the SH word, while people are trying to eat? I'd say that was pretty bad for the appetite. I'd say that was pretty bad for business. Why should people in a hospital be comfortable being treated by a doctor who celebrates murder when the doctor took a Hippocratic oath to save and protect human life? Why should parents want their kids to be taught in the classroom by professors who see nothing wrong with an assassination? You are comfortable with murder, but you're going to teach my kids? I don't think so. As for pundits and comedians, so-called, if he's part of a network or company, they have a right to see that his speech is truly representing their opinions, or at least whether his ratings are going to go down and lose sponsors. None of that has anything to do with the First Amendment. Let me say this again. None of that has anything to do with the First Amendment. It's not like Jimmy won't be opening his big mouth again from time immemorial on some new podcast. His speech is not going to be made illegal. Cancel culture for any reason is not the same as a First Amendment issue. Still, within the discussion of cancel culture in its own right, there's a difference between cancel culture over ideas or cancel culture over vile, irresponsible comments. Another question that should come up in these discussions, and frankly, one that doesn't come up often enough, it's a very simple question. Is this comment true? When people call you a Nazi simply for believing in the Constitution, when people call you a fascist simply for believing in the Bible, when people accuse you of hate speech simply because you hold on to traditional values, they are simply not speaking the truth. They are telling a lie. Even if it's a lie they believe, they're telling a lie. On the subject of truth, Kimmel was lying. Now, it's true that that had been part of the leftist narrative, and who knows where he gets his news from. Probably lives in a protective bubble. But after all the flack and controversy, he was exposed to enough sources to correct his story, and he was planning on going back on the next night and doubling down and claiming that they were just taking him out of context. Yeah, out of context. When I said this guy was a MAGA supporter, I didn't mean he was a MAGA supporter. I just meant that he was a MAGA supporter. So you got to understand the context. Anyway, these facts had come in prior to Jimmy's hilarious monologue. He should have already known the truth, but again, he at least knew it one day later when he was going to get up there and defend himself. Yes, originally the narrative went out that this shooter, Robinson, was from a conservative Republican family. That much is true. But more facts came in, namely that children turn from their upbringing all the time. Usually all it takes is indoctrination in our schools. And that's what happened here. This guy rejected conservatism, labeled Charlie Kirk as hateful for having ideas he disagreed with, which means he was disagreeing with conservative Republican and, yes, MAGA policies. He was against them. He wanted to shut them down. Another lie. Donald Trump is responsible for these recent firings. People saying inflammatory things about Charlie Kirk getting fired. Donald Trump is responsible. Donald Trump is suppressing free speech. Oh, really? Have any Trump critics been afraid to criticize him? Democrat senators and congressmen do it all the time. They inhale and exhale Trump curses for breakfast. They never let up. Wouldn't they know more than anyone if they were in legal danger for doing so? Wouldn't they be more worried than anyone? Another lie. And this is from those on the left who are not celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. Good for them. They're not celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. They're calling it out. They're saying violence has no place in our society. Good so far. But then they immediately point out how the violence is on both sides. I'm so sick of hearing this. Both sides. Violence comes from the right just as much as the left. Okay, obviously, at times there has been violence from the right. Whenever you have people, you run that risk. People are sinful. But the talking point is that the violence is 50-50, at least. And some will even say the violence is coming more from the right. And that is simply not true. Just look at how the left responded to George Floyd's death in 2020. Cities being torched, people beaten up and murdered. Contrast that to how people are responding to the death of Charlie Kirk, his supporters, I mean, vigils and services with singing and prayer all over the country. A record number of people visiting churches from coast to coast. Violence on both sides? On both sides? There have been two attempts on Trump's life. There was the attempted murder of Justice Kavanaugh, the shooting of Steve Scalise. He survived, but he was shot. The doxing of ICE agents, the attempted stabbing of Lee Zeldin, the beating up of Senator Rand Paul, the assassination of Charlie Kirk is the whole reason we're discussing this, and now there are death threats being ramped up for Kirk supporters. And for years prior to this, conservative guest speakers on college campuses have been shouted down. They've needed to bring in security to protect them from angry mobs. When do liberal speakers on college campuses need such security? As for violence from the right toward the left? Well, we need to look at the examples that are being offered. There was arson set to the house of Governor Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania. He is a Democrat governor. So they're saying, see, he's a Democrat. And violence was perpetrated against him. Yes, he's a Democrat. But the arsonist was a pro-Palestinian anti-Semite. And Shapiro is Jewish. This was not a conservative. Just look at the college protest. It's Marxists and Palestinians and pro-Palestinians marching together. And remember, the left says speech itself is violent if it's conservative speech. But real violence, such as the Summer of Love, well, we shouldn't call that violence. That's just their First Amendment freedom. So speech is violence. Violence is speech. A woman praying at an abortion clinic was arrested on the charge of violence. All she was doing was praying. So you'll pardon me if I don't take it seriously when people claim the violence is equal on both sides, because I see their examples. I see how they define violence. And this kind of comparison should be placed out in the pasture where it belongs. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool. We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Good afternoon, Bob. How are you doing today?
Doing okay.
I'm doing okay as well. First off, a quick response to your monologue.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Just everything you said. Yes. You word for word. Every single
and
point.
And how this idea of hate crime leading to hate speech.
Yes.
We've got to be so careful.
I completely concur.
I didn't like disagreeing with Pam Bondi, but I am glad she walked it back right away after getting some criticism.
Absolutely.
But I'm glad she walked it back.
Yes, and that's one of the things that politicians have a lot of tough time is taking responsibility for certain actions that they do. Like you said, Pam Bondi for, I would say, like, giving it just a few more moments to, like, let it cool down. And let
yeah, in the heat
happens.
Of the moment, well, those were certainly our sentiments. It's not like there isn't a part of me that doesn't want to see people get prosecuted for saying stupid things, but people are going to say stupid things.
Yes.
And then it's in the eye of somebody else says something intelligent. Charlie Kirk's accused of hate speech all the time. The guy that killed killed him. Said hate can't be negotiated. He was killed because supposedly he was guilty of hate speech. Do we want to leave it up to people like Tim Walz to decide what kind of speech is protected in our Constitution?
I personally don't want that personally, but that's just me.
By the way, did you hear the stuff keeps coming out of stuff that's in Kamala Harris's book? And whether she really wrote the book or whether it was a ghostwriter or AI. I think it's one of those because it's not the same kind of rhetoric that we hear when she tries to give a speech. But she said she wanted Pete Buttigieg as her first pick, but because he was gay, she didn't think the country was ready for a gay man because already we were going to have trouble accepting an African-American woman who was married to a Jewish person. So she picks Tim Walz, who puts up tampons in male bathrooms, and the country was ready for that.
Right, exactly. And not to mention, do you know how many people in the LGBTQ community are inside our government all over America? There's thousands and thousands.
Our head financial guy is from the gay community.
Yes, exactly.
That hasn't really been an issue with Trump.
There's a council member from Kentucky, of all places. Kentucky, that's a transgender person. I mean, you're telling me that out of all the places that I would say is probably the most conservative, and you're saying, oh, they're not ready for it.
And as a Christian, I don't believe in that stuff. But politically, if somebody just does their job in office, then I don't think it's an issue.
Exactly, yeah. Now, my only question is, you would definitely know she wrote it if she said, I grew up in a middle-class family with the middle-class lawn, with the middle-class...
That was probably on the back cover advertising the book.
I have to look that up later.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought we could talk about Charlie Kirk's memorial.
Yeah, now, I was watching it recorded. Okay. So the last thing I saw was the very beginning of his wife's, Erica Kirk's, speech.
Gotcha.
Dana has since texted me, though, and said she forgave the killer.
That's the big thing I wanted
to
talk about.
That's pretty powerful.
So if I could tell a quick story on this situation. So back when my wife was in high school, her high school had a stop sign situation there. A person ran the stop sign and they collided with another person head on. And unfortunately, the person that wasn't speeding specifically, he was the one that's driving and the other person sped. The person that sped survived. The other person passed away in the car wreck. There was a lot of questions on what kind of criminal charges would fall through, but I don't know if it was pretty quickly, but for my wife at least, it felt pretty fast. The parents said, oh, we completely forgive you. We know it was a complete accident, and as Christians, we forgive you too. And that surprised me quite a bit. These kind of things are very, very hard to forgive. And I'm talking just me as a human being. I'm not talking about as a religious person or anything. If I was the wife, it's so hard to decide that kind of factor of, oh, I forgive you for shooting my husband and causing this whole wide kind of craziness that's going on.
Yeah, I think your response is very understandable, Brendan. Two things. Oftentimes, people confuse forgiveness with excusing. And obviously, in something like a murder or an assassination, it's so grotesque. Let's back up. Let's bring it to everyday life. Somebody says something derogatory or insulting to you, and then they go to church and they hear, I'm supposed to forgive. So they go, okay, I forgive them, but they still feel that they were wronged, and then they feel like they haven't forgiven them. So then on top of the bad repercussions from a friendship, now they're feeling guilty that they haven't forgiven because they're mistaking forgiving with excusing. What they need to do is sit down with the person and say, you wronged me, and nothing can make that right. I do not ever approve of what you did, and I never will. What you did was wrong. I will never excuse you for that. However, now that I've gotten that off my chest, because I don't want to be bitter, I do forgive you. So that's the first thing, the difference between forgiving and excusing. But there's another little wrinkle. Jesus said in the scriptures, and nobody talked about forgiveness more than Jesus.
Of course.
He said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Now, I'm not hearing this guy repent.
No, not
or expressing any remorse. Of course, he might. And if he does, horrendous as what that was, he should be forgiven. He still needs to take responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. He still needs to be punished. So it's very much to her credit, but I'd feel probably a little better if I knew the guy had asked for forgiveness, and maybe he will.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any word on whether the wife did have a conversation with the shooter, right?
I'm guessing that at this point she probably hadn't. In fact, I heard that the police were forbidding him to have any contact with the family, although they may have been leaving that up to the family.
So probably.
Who knows what they worked out.
You know, another instance of forgiveness, and I know it's not as huge as the wife per se, but one of the things that was caught on camera was that Trump and Elon Musk were actually sitting together too.
I saw that. In fact, I was wondering if Musk was going to get up and speak, and he didn't.
He did actually make a public statement later on. I don't know if you did see online.
But it was good to see. I'm wondering if the shock of this Charlie Kirk thing made them both say, you know what, life is short and maybe we should reconcile.
And that's what I'm thinking too. And I'm realizing that with a lot of this politics situation. What I mean by this is there was only one time where I think both sides could fully agree. And I never seen this country be more patriotic and together than ever before. And that was back at 9/11, unfortunately.
9/11, and it lasted for 5 minutes, but they did agree.
No,
it didn't last for very
long. No, but
that was a time where Democrats and Republicans for a brief time did come together.
Exactly. Yes. And it just felt like unity,
yeah,
for a united
States. Because
we're
all Americans, we've all been attacked.
Yeah.
And then after that, the narrative of how Muslims are really peaceful and mm-hmm. we can't judge started getting into all the politics of it.
So I don't know if you happened to hear some highlights to President Trump's speech. He brought up again the Jimmy Kimmel situation. I mean,
that
personally,
probably was inappropriate for a memorial service.
Right.
Now, I didn't watch the speech, so I'm not responding to it in context.
Right.
I need to be fair.
But. Right. And again, it was only a quick, like, I don't know, 10-second jab.
I remember telling my wife, and again, I love Trump, but I remember telling my wife, I hope he doesn't talk too much about himself or too much about how Charlie got him into the presidency, because mm-hmm. it should be about
him,
Charlie, and not him.
And celebrating his life specifically.
How did you rate it all?
Again, he did have his pokes and jabs here and there for sure.
For Jimmy?
And for Jimmy and for the liberal side.
Well,
side
I hate
and
this,
I get
the
it.
Left has been so vile and disgusting. They probably deserve the pokes and jabs.
Yes.
Whether it should be done at a memorial service is another whole question.
Exactly, yeah. I think you definitely could have had another press conference situation where you can do that kind of situation there. Like you said, the timing and the fact that you're at the event of a memorial doing that, I don't think it was the most appropriate time per se. Otherwise, I was quite impressed with the attendance. There was reports of over 300,000
people.
That was a Super Bowl attendance, basically.
And there were probably millions around the world watching it, too.
No, Charlie Kirk's wife was named the CEO of Turning Point, officially.
Yeah, and she will be a spitfire.
She will take
this in new directions.
I think what she's done so far already since the horrible, horrible incident, I can't speak words on how amazing she's done so far.
No, if they were trying to silence this movement, they sure went about it in the wrong way.
Yeah, absolutely. For example, she literally said in one of the speeches, not during this memorial, but
the previous one, she said, you have no idea what you've unleashed.
Yes, while you killed one Charlie Kirk, there's going to be thousands of more Charlie Kirks out there.
Exactly, exactly.
Amazing line. Only two other things I did want to mention was she was wearing the pendant that Charlie Kirk was wearing.
I think she wore that the other night when she gave the speech, too.
I did not know that. Okay.
I thought she did. I know they were discussing it, at least.
I definitely know she was wearing it at the memorial because she did point out to it, and there was still his blood stain on there, which, man, that is still horrific, but I guess...
Oh, I may be confusing this with... I thought there was some cross of his that she was wearing before. Maybe I'm talking about two different things.
Okay. Possibly. I definitely know about the pendant situation, and I get it. There's certain things that will still bring you close to the person that you've loved so much and lost, but still having that kind of thing, I can't help but feel like there's a lot of PTSD situation where it's going to be hard to get over in that situation, but, I mean, the event is already horrific as it was anyways. Only other thing I did want to mention, did you happen to listen to the Charlie Kirk show all this week on our radio station here?
No, I did not.
Oh, we had so many special
guests. I heard
one
clip of the one that Vance did, mm-hmm. but even that was just a little clip of it.
Yeah, so he was on Monday. Tuesday, we had Matt Walsh, Michael Knowles, and Ben Shapiro all in the same studio.
Wow.
Wednesday was a really, really big deal. We had Glenn Beck inside the studio.
Oh, I've met Glenn Beck once. Great guy.
Oh, awesome.
I like Glenn Beck.
Yeah, he actually works for a competitor radio station company.
So we can't talk about him too much.
No, we could. No, absolutely. Okay. It was just he signed a 1-day deal with us in order to actually have permission to go on to our radio station network as well.
Oh, that's
so that was it's
He's
rarely
been a brave voice.
Absolutely. Thursday we had Megyn Kelly, and then Friday was like a clip show of a best of Charlie Kirk and some of his best moments. So
you know, they could just keep that show going by rerunning Charlie Kirk. More people are going to be interested in hearing what he has to say and probably paying better attention to it
than
ever before.
And if not, there's definitely plenty of other voices out there that'll speak up.
Absolutely.
We were just talking about Candace Owens, for example.
Now, she started Turning Point with them, didn't she?
Yes, exactly. And I think she would be a very good one. Now, again...
I've had some real issues with her.
Yes.
I used to just love her, but she really went to the dark side with Israel.
There's some certain Israel comments
that
she has made.
She's been making some comments that I think you could just downright call anti-Semitic. And
then,
it was such a disappointment because I had such an admiration for her before.
And then I talked to a pastor because I work on Saturdays too, and the pastor doesn't agree with certain religious viewpoints that she has too, or where his connections with the Bible are slightly different too. But I would have to do more research on that one to fully understand, because I just mostly focus on the politics of her mostly.
And again, she's so sharp on all other issues, just the sparks weren't going into the right cylinders with the Middle East.
But I will say this, is that in terms of just vocal presence, I think she really does a good job. She does a great job in debating just as much as Charlie Kirk.
She does, but she's got to get to the correct side of some of these issues too.
It's true. It's true. My only other thing I wanted to point out, and I said this in the last hour with Still Talking, I do not see us doing any more outdoor events in quite a while, whether it be from rallies to these certain debates. I think they are going to be stuck in closed spaces, which is...
It is interesting that once again, they didn't have the rooftops covered. Now, it was different. When Trump was out there, he was out there with alleged Secret Service protection.
Yes.
So there was no excuse for that. Charlie Kirk was not a politician. He had private security. He did not have Secret Service protection.
Oh, I saw a report that he had at least a few Secret Service protections for some reason.
Well, maybe because of his inroads with Trump. Right. Trump granted that. I had heard that it was private security.
Yeah.
Either way, though, private Secret Service, and obviously it's less excusable if it was Secret Service. Right. What's the deal with them not checking people up on the roofs?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because this is the second time this has happened, and this time someone was killed in this situation. And not to mention, that shooter could have gotten even worse in that situation. He could have shot up even more people.
But I'm starting to hear conspiracies that maybe this guy didn't really do it. I'm telling you, I've gone out to these college campuses for years. I've had similar discussions with them. I know how they think. I know what they say. And I know that these days, everybody in the country is hearing from the left that people on the right are all Hitler and fascists. So obviously some psychopath wants to go out and assassinate Hitler. I have zero problem believing that this guy did it. And bottom line, he confessed to doing it.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that should be more than enough right then and there. And again, all the evidence is pointing towards this person in the first place. So in the end, again, I think it was a very, very good memorial. Very long.
What I saw was beautiful, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like hearing the speeches. A memorial like they do with royalty, where you're watching the coffin being moved down the street for an hour, that I could do without.
But yes,
these were very, very moving speeches.
Yes. And again, just to point out, it brought so much togetherness at this one event, from people that you didn't think were going to get along ever again to the widow actually forgiving.
It's prophetic. Our country is now at a turning point for sure.
Yes. Quote unquote. All right. Well, coming up, Trump is back in the news, but not only
Trump is back in the news.
Yeah, exactly. But
Brendan,
not only that,
the way you dig for these little known news events, it's incredible. But you found Trump in the news?
And guess what?
It's amazing.
And guess what? Our governor is also in the news.
Oh, are we
going
to get to play our King Newsom?
I think so. Yeah, stay tuned for that, everybody.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined by my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, in today's news, we have to pull out the old Newsom ring.
His Royal Majesty. You know, it's not just royalty. He used to be an atheist until he discovered he was God.
Well, also, I hear that there's that statue of his that was built out of royalty, I think. Oh, wait, no, that's actually just our own tax dollars that we're making that statue out of him. Yeah. So California, get this, is now the first state to ban most law enforcement officers, including federal immigration agents, from covering their face while conducting official business, in quotes.
This so, from the people that were making it against the law not to wear masks during COVID. You just can't make this stuff up.
I mean, Alanis Morse perfectly said it. It's like rain on a wedding day. It's like a free ride, but you already paid. It's ironic. I'm telling you what. This ban is obviously in a direct response to the recent immigration raids in Los Angeles, where federal agents wore masks while
Okay, is he aware that the state does not have authority over government agents and they can do whatever they want?
Are you jumping my notes there, Bob?
You know what they should do? They should say, we'll make a deal with you. When we go into the French restaurant like you did, then we won't wear our masks.
So U.S. Attorney for Southern California said on X that the state has no jurisdiction over federal government or any of its rules, and he has told agencies the mask ban has no effect on their operations. So basically, it's just an empty sheet of paper he just absolutely wasted. He's killing trees,
it's a
Bob.
Talking point for the next presidential election.
He's killing trees, yeah. Bob. I thought he was for the environment. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing here by wasting so much
paper. He's not for anything except becoming president. He'll say anything, he'll do anything.
So if I can go back a little bit here in the story here, obviously. The raids were prompted days of protests and led President Donald Trump to deploy the National Guard troops and Marines to the area. I don't know if you happen to also see, it was yesterday actually, in Chicago, another ICE raid was happening at an apartment building, and sure enough, there was a riot that happened with it. There was people throwing Molotov cocktails at these ICE
Every
agents.
Every one of those people should be put in jail.
Absolutely.
Every one of them in jail.
Absolutely. And it's so easy to figure out who they are because it's all on social media posting. But, and I quote,
by the way, did Newsom pass a law that people from Antifa are not allowed to wear masks either? I don't think so.
No, not at all. And I will say this too. I want to read this quick quote from him saying, here it is. There's an assertion that somehow there's an exponential increase in assaults on officers, but they will not provide the data. All they have provided is misinformation and misdirection. I literally can log into any social media account and find these videos of people doing this, attacking law officers left and right, not only in just Chicago, but in our own state during that LA area. Oh, no, I didn't see any. I guess
well,
I blocked that
when
out
you're
right
in
now.
Politics, you don't want to confuse people with the truth.
It's true. At least, you know, if you're going to be eventually running for president, mind you, which, gosh, I'm still not looking forward to that time. He's pushing back on against the practice of masked agents without identification or badge numbers detaining people on the streets. Newsom said, and I quote, it's like a dystopian sci-fi movie. Unmarked cars, people in masks, people quite literally disappearing. No due process, no rights, no right in a democracy where we have rights. Immigrants have rights, and we have the right to stand up and push back, and that's what we're doing here today.
And I love when they say, why do you need to wear a mask? Because we're concerned for our lives, because you keep villainizing us. We're concerned for our families' lives. And if they're wearing badges, they have identity. The whole idea behind it is, well, if you're wearing a mask, we can't identify you as a police officer. Of course you can.
Yes.
Of course they can.
Context clue. Like you said in your monologue, context. Do you think these group of people are just coming in because
bumpkin for the masses? They're just hoping people will be stupid enough to believe all this.
Literally. Do you think that they're just coming in because the purge is actually a real thing in real real life. No, it's a ridiculous concept.
Oh, speaking of facts, I know this is a little off subject. Did you hear the latest from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
Oh, I heard her in the news yesterday.
Charlie Kirk was an ignorant person because he doesn't have a college degree. If she were to ever have had a debate with him, she would not have even been able to articulate any of his points.
It's true.
I'm not saying she has to agree with his points. I'm saying she wouldn't even be able to articulate or understand or comprehend the point he was trying to make before she offered her reason for rebuttal.
Right.
And she's calling him ignorant. I've never seen such an ignorant twit in my life in public life.
I remember she was talking 2 weeks ago to RFK Jr. and it was about some kind of health insurance situation. And she was like, do you know where the rates are now at this point? He goes, no, I haven't been informed just yet. I literally just got here. And she immediately just skips to the another subject all of a sudden, like it was going to prove a point or something.
Because probably she didn't know what the rates were
either. Exactly, yeah. So in the meantime, obviously, like you said, Trump's administration offices are defending the use of masks because, again, the increasing
harassment. They're being doxxed.
Exactly. And the safety of their agents and their families are also in contingency over there, too. Only other news I wanted to also mention to you was Newsom's comment on X about Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, saying Kristi Noem's going to have a bad day today. God bless America.
No, wait. What does he mean? Is that some kind of threat?
That's what everyone's thinking that.
Does now, she have a trip to California planned? Is that what he means, that he's anticipating a bad day? Otherwise, how would he know she's going to have a bad day?
I don't know. All I know is that it says the Trump administration did make a comment saying, quote, it's despicable and a flagrant attempt to endanger our officers and many people that work within the White House.
Maybe, so. Do you think he means that this law that he's passing affects her because she's in charge?
I'm assuming so, the correlation on that part. But otherwise, I'll say these two things. Number one.
Newsom, everybody in California has had a bad day every single day since you've been our governor.
It's very true. Now, I will say this here for the Newsom part. If he's threatening, he's like the least threatening man I've ever seen in my life.
She's going to have a bad day.
It's like, I don't take anything he says seriously, nor do I take any of his governmental things seriously. Again, this being an example. Again, federal law trumps state law. So what's the point of this whole thing? My only guess is it's supposedly for his state officers. If I had to assume, but otherwise, I have no clue why this is an.
Newsom, get out of politics. Maybe there's a career waiting for you with Serling hair gel or something like that.
Something like that. Only other thing I do want to mention too is there's a new law that also covers schools and healthcare facilities. Newsom signed legislation Saturday as well for preventing immigration agents from entering schools and healthcare facilities without a valid warrant or judicial order, and requiring schools to notify parents and teachers when agents are on campus, according to Assemblymember Al Muratushi from Torrance, said students cannot learn if they live in fear of being deported. The California Safe Haven Schools Act is a clear message to Donald Trump. Keep ICE out of schools.
Newsflash, nobody would be in fear of being deported if they weren't here illegally.
Right. Again,
they are not deporting any legal citizen, contrary to their constant lies.
That's right. And I do want to point out, again, back to Newsom's comment about, oh, well, these guys have rights, too. No, they don't. No, they don't. They have no
rights. They're not American citizens. They have zero rights. And they're being treated pretty good despite that.
Legal immigrants have rights is what you should have said.
Well, and they're always conflating legal with illegal immigrants. That's how they get the message across.
Again, he says,
we have a proud history of immigrants. Yes, we do. Legal.
Exactly. Again, he says, no due process, no rights, no right in democracy where we have rights.
They're not entitled to any of that if they're not here legally.
Thank you. Exactly.
They're entitled to the kind of due process that maybe establishes that they're here illegally. Legally, maybe that much due process, but that's it.
That's it. And what's even scarier is that since we are the first state, other states are following through on this whole situation too. So we have Tennessee.
One monkey starts it, the others follow. And as California goes, so goes the nation.
It's true. We have Tennessee, Michigan, Illinois, New York, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania.
Well, now Tennessee has been a pretty conservative state. That one surprises me.
But do you think it's going to get passed? Of course not. I don't think so. Not at all. Maybe by one area.
Yeah, but,
don't
they, but
the
they do have a Republican guy. It's a red state, Tennessee.
It is. It is, but they're still
not the city of Memphis. They're just Tennessee, the state.
They're in the process of proposing it. That's all. Again, do I think it's going to get passed in that state? Yeah. No, not at all. Now the other states, I definitely do worry about. Obviously, New York is going to be
New
a hands
York,
down.
New York, Massachusetts, they'll pass there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but Michigan, Illinois, and Pennsylvania, I don't know.
Probably that's, not Pennsylvania. Michigan's 50-50.
Pennsylvania is also 50-50, I feel like.
Yeah, that's what I said. Michigan, I'm not sure about because that was kind of a swing state. The last
as
few
it was,
elections.
Yeah. So again, just a bunch of hoopla that doesn't mean anything in the end. What a surprise, Newsom. So coming up, I'm going to get things more lighthearted after the break. We're going to talk about some sports and one quick local news that I want Bob's opinion on when it comes to traveling in our area. So we'll take a listen to that when we come back.
Reader enthusiasm for the dangerous Christmas ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
By the way, that is not AI music you're listening to. That's music the way the good Lord intended it to be. I know one of our other radio shows is using AI as a sponsor, so but I'm not, so I guess I can say whatever I want.
Well, Bob, I'm back on. Brendan Thomas, producer for Bob Siegel Show. Sports update, super quick. Shout out to San Diego State's football team beating California 34-0. San Diego Toreros football team beating Princeton 42-35. San Diego State Lady Aztec soccer won two matches this week and tied also yesterday. And lastly, the Padres won today 3-2 and winning the series against the White Sox, who are the second worst team in baseball, so I was expecting nonetheless. We have Tuesday, possibly, if we can make sure some teams lose a couple of games, but we are looking to get into the playoffs as early as Tuesday, so that should be a lot of fun. I know the city's looking forward to it, but at the same time, we want a little bit more consistency from the Padres. So that's my sports update. I know Jim is probably listening, being like, yes, I got my sports update. So Carlsbad is going to be implementing some new traffic changes into their area, including a new traffic circle. So they was originally planned for 5 traffic circles. However, they decided to cut down to just 1 and use the same amount of budget to implement some other things. Number one, having all brand new stop signs for 4 intersections, 43 new high visibility crosswalks, and 1 raised crosswalk, which is similar to a speed bump with painted crosswalks on it. And lastly, 6 rectangular rapid flashing beacon signs that light up to alert drivers when the person is crossing the street. So my quick question to you in general, traffic circles, how do you feel about traffic circles?
Okay, I've had very limited limited experience with them.
Yes.
When I used to travel up to the Northwest, because mm-hmm. they haven't had them in California, at least nowhere I've lived in California.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't particularly liked them, but it was so long ago, you may have to refresh my memory. If I recall correctly, the circle was a way of preventing the need for a stop sign. Is
correct,
that what it
yes.
did? And I found it kind of confusing.
Now, I know.
It could be if I had more chance to get used to it, that wouldn't be the case.
Now, I will say this. Yes, you're with the other Carlsbad people saying that traffic circles in general are just going to cause more confusion, and they find it to be ineffective for traffic flow. I personally disagree. If you have enough practice, I have personally, because I used to live... Like you said, in the Northwest, I used to live in Washington. Tons of traffic.
You really have to know where you're going, though. If you're from out of town and someone's giving you directions, that circle could just put you on a street you didn't want to be on.
Not to mention, Google does like the most detailed traffic. Go into the second right lane to take the second left lane to take to the right lane to get out of the traffic circle. Which one? I'm sorry, which lane are we in?
Our GPS the other day was telling us to turn left, and we were already at our destination. She was telling us to turn left when we knew we were supposed to go right. It was a dyslexic GPS.
Very true. I do remember there was a funny sitcom where they're like, hey, you got this GPS for cheap? He goes, yeah, I only got it for $1. Why is that? And they were in the middle of the intersection and the GPS goes, turn left now! And like, oh, okay. And they have to turn the curve. So that was really funny there. One of the things I do want to mention too is that Tom Frank, who is the Carlsbad Transportation Director, said, we strive for as much public feedback, whether it be road redesigns or signals that are not functioning. One of the great things about this plan is that we will figure out what's the best, safest systems in place for our citizens. City of Carlsbad will be collecting traffic data from this and evaluate how effective these changes are in terms of changing driver behavior and the flow of traffic. They will also mention that too, that these are plans that are easily to get modified to get back to the way it was prior. So because of these traffic circles, all it is just one big, I don't know, like cement, or I don't know how to describe it per se, but it's like a sidewalk basically in the middle of a road basically. So you can easily cut that out and then make it back into a three-way stop signs intersection if you want to, or put a traffic light. So again, another positive in my opinion. For those who are complaining, I say get over it. Just practice. You'll learn eventually. The whole other entire country
is just about not being used to it.
Exactly. If Europe can do it, we can do it.
I'll say this. With all that's going on in the world, I'm not going to lose any sleep over this one.
No, I know. For sure. I just wanted something more lighthearted to finish the show, basically. Well, Bob, thank you so much for this time. What do we get to look forward to next week, Bob?
I don't know, but I will go on the record as saying as long as I don't have to wear a freaking mask while I'm using the traffic circle, I'll be just fine.
I agree. Okay. Well, Bob, I'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.